That's church. That's church. Well, I tell you what, these old dried up places, you go sit there and you all complain and all that kind of stuff and call it church. It's not what church is. This is church. Amen. That's what it's all about. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you miss out on that, you've missed out on the whole point of everything. Would you take your Bible, please, and turn to John chapter 20, if you will. John chapter 20, and I've failed to recognize Bob Lauer and Miss Jane here as well. They've been out of the weather for quite a while. They're back in church with us this morning, too. Bless their hearts. So it's good to have them with us as well. John chapter 20. This passage, Jesus Christ has come to Jerusalem. We had the Last Supper during chapter 14, 15, 16. He was he had the great prayer in 17, the arrest in 18, the death of Jesus Christ in 19. And then in chapter 20, we have the resurrection chapter here. They have been to the tomb. Of course, the ladies got there first. And then Peter and John went out to see. But, they left still wondering what's going on. But in fact, the Bible says that Peter went in. He saw that the grave clothes were there. And he saw the napkin there lying by itself, all folded up. And he came out and he was still confused about what was going on. And can you imagine what they were going through for those days, those 3 days? They had, I think at one time, thought this is all just going to last forever. And Jesus had told them, I'm going to go down to Jerusalem. They're going to crucify me, they're going to abuse me, and they're going to kill me. And on the third day, I'm going to rise again. It's amazing how many times they changed the subject. Well, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Let's not talk about that. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Who's going to be this and who's going to be that? And finally, during that last night, Jesus has given out the orders, if you will. And apparently, it kind of came to their attention that this is it. I think you saw the confusion and the gloom and the distress come across their heart. Let's say conflict in their soul. And John chapter 14, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. Now go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And the way you know, and whither you know. But Thomas said, we don't know the way. We don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But even then, they sang a hymn, and they left the upper room, and they headed out toward the garden. And of course, they prayed there, but the guys couldn't stay awake and pray with him. And they said, well, you might as well sleep now because they that have betrayed me are here. And Judas came and pointed him out with the greeting of a kiss. And then Jesus was arrested. At first, they thought to fight, and Peter even cut off the ear of Malchus, the high priest servant. But Jesus said, he that lives by the sword shall die by the sword. And he healed the ear. And I think at that point they were just so confused they weren't sure what to think. And the Bible says that he smites the shepherd and the sheep are scattered. And so they scatter. Now John and Peter kind of follow from behind, but we don't hear anything about the rest of them. Of course, they go through the trial at the high priest's office of Annas and Caiaphas. Then they take him to Pilate, the Roman governor. He didn't know what to do with him, so he sends him to Herod. Herod said, I don't know what to do with it. He said, back to Pilate. Finally, Pilate, trying to keep everybody happy, he says, hey, well, I have him scourged and released. So he scourges him, rips his body to shreds, plaits a crown of thorns on his head, and brings him back out, hoping to get some sympathy from the people. I'll give you this guy, or I'll give you a murderer. What do you think? Barabbas, the murderer. And he said, we want Barabbas. So they put the cross in the back of Jesus, and he carries it up Mount Calvary. People jeered, mocked him. He got to the top of the hill after he had fell beneath the load. Of course, Simon of Cyrene carried the cross the rest of the way. And they nailed him to the cross. And people watched him die. They had taken their picnic lunches out there for the entertainment. They placed him in the tomb. And there we have it. Three days and three nights in the belly of the earth. Sunday morning, the first day of the week came around, and the ladies went down to the tomb to kind of finish preparing the body because they couldn't do it during the Sabbath day. When Mary got there, the tomb was open. Stone had been rolled away, the soldiers were gone, and there was no body to be found. She ran back and told the disciples, and the disciples thought they were just idle words. But they ran out to see what was going on, and again, Peter and John looked in the tomb, and they saw the empty tomb. They saw the grave clothes lying there and the napkin that had been about his face over here on the side. And he walked out, and he didn't know what to think. And he went back. Can you imagine the conflict in their heart? And it brings us to John chapter 20, verse number 19. Then the same day, that same Sunday, that same first day of the week, they've been sitting in that place trying to figure out what's going on, what's next. That same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. The word peace there is an interesting word. It means to join, but it means to be at one with, to get all the pieces put back together, to be quiet, to be free from any conflict, not to be conflicted in your own mind or conflicted in your heart. You could say it this way, not double-minded about things. Sometimes, when we get confused and we see this, we got evidence of one thing and evidence of another thing, and we're just kind of torn between the two. We don't really know what to believe. And their life was dependent. They had spent 3 years with this guy. That's all over. And Jesus says, peace be unto you. You know what he was saying? He said, I understand what's going through your heart here, guys. But I want you to have these things settled in your heart. I don't want you conflicted in your mind and your heart. I don't want you double-minded. I don't want you still being pulled in two different directions. The thing is, he had told them that night before. The night before he died. In John 14, it says, these things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. And whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, conflicted, neither let it be afraid. He said, I want you to be at peace about this. He told them ahead of time. But here they are. A little bit later in the night in John 16, Jesus said again, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered. And every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father's with me. But these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. I'm telling you things because I want you to have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. God wants you to have that peace and that quietness in your heart. He doesn't want you conflicted over what's true and what's not true. Is he going to take me through life, or is he not going to take me through life? Am I going to get to heaven, or am I not going to get to heaven? Is this settled, or is it not settled? God doesn't want you to live without that peace. Watch me. Go back to verse 9. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed on them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad. Now watch me. He says, I want you to have peace. So look. You saw me on the cross. You know where the nails went. You know where the nails were. It's me. The same Jesus that died on the cross, the same Jesus that was pierced through by those old rusty nails, is the same one that stands before you alive. I want you to have peace. It says, then they were glad. That word glad means to be the cheerful ones. Now, if they were in our culture, it would be a bunch of high fives, low fives, one around the corner. You know, I mean, this is we're everything's good because we've seen where the nails were. Now hang on to that thought. So Jesus stood in the midst, and they said, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever ye sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The word Didymus means double. Now, it was the same word that they used when they were twins. And maybe Thomas was a twin. But I'll be honest with you, I think that God threw this description, this word of description in on Thomas in this place, not flippantly. Oh, by the way, he was a twin. God's not talking about that right now. I'll tell you what he was talking about. It means double. Maybe it was a twin, or maybe he seemed like two people. Sometimes he seems strong in the Lord. And then at other times he seemed to doubt. And a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He was two-spirited, if you will. Two-spirited. Vacillating in opinion or purpose, it says. Of all nights, now watch, of all nights, this night, Thomas needed to be with the rest of the believers, but he wasn't. He knew what had happened. He heard what had happened. And I think he was conflicted in his heart. What do you do? I thought this was real. Look at verse 23. The other disciples therefore said unto him, to Thomas, we have seen the Lord. So some along the way they've been telling him, we see the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. The word print there means the indelible impression. To strike a die means the scar, the lingering evidence. I've got to see the lingering evidence. This is Jesus, the same Jesus. Now, I'll be honest with you. I think that there was a little bit of sarcasm in here. I think there was a little bit of confusion. I think there was a little bit of bitterness. I think there was just a little frustration. And he said, well, listen, if I can stick my hand in the side, I'll believe it. Well, he wasn't going to stick his hand in the side of Jesus. I mean, how crude is that? How vulgar is that? This man, I mean, this is his body. You're going to stick your hand inside of his body? I think it was just so frustrated. I think sometimes we can get so frustrated and say, well, I just don't know if it's real or if it's not. I go to church, I go there, but it feels like it's real, and then I get out on my own and then something crazy happens and it looks like the rug was pulled out from underneath of me. I just don't know. Conflicted. And Jesus comes to us and said, peace be unto you. Look. Look at me. Experience me. And then you'll know. Verse 26. So after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. See, he wasn't totally against it. Just wasn't sure he was for it. Then came Jesus. Now listen to this. The doors being shut, and stood in the midst. That's exactly what he just did before. And said, peace be unto you. He says, don't be afflicted. Don't be conflicted. Don't, please, settle down. I want you to have peace about this. So when he said, peace be unto you, now it's connected to Thomas. He said, then said he to Thomas. So the second time, he's asking to have, want them to have peace, and he wants them to have peace by experiencing who he is, by seeing where the nails were. He said, reach. Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand. Thrust it in my side if you have to. Go ahead, go ahead. I'd rather you do that than not be believing. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Not just the one who tells me how to live my life, my Lord, but he's my God. So there's an awful lot of people that come to church, tell me what I need to do, tell me how to live my life, and I'll take care of it. I'll just do it. Be my Lord. Because I want to just be your Lord. I want to be your God. The all-powerful one that you can reach out to. The one who makes intercession at the right hand of the Father. The one who provides all your needs according to his riches and glory. The one that heals all your diseases. I want to be your God. Thomas went from letting him be his Lord and telling him what to do to letting him be his God. There's an awful lot of folks who are willing to be submissive to the rules, but they haven't made him their God. Well, that's superstitious. Well, that's foolish. Don't let the world steal with their counterfeit what God has planned for your life. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, that word see means to stare at, to experience, to discern. Thou hast believed. You've been persuaded. Watch, colon. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That word blessed means supremely blessed, fortunate, well off. Life is good for those who are willing to believe, even though they haven't actually seen the nail prints physically. We live in a society where we want everything pretty and wonderful. We want to make all the clouds and the gloom go away, even to the point of denying the sorrow when it actually is there. Years ago, some denominations of Christianity stopped preaching about sin. They stopped preaching the blood. In fact, they took the blood songs out of their hymn books. They dwelt so much on and so long on the love and the grace and the mercy of God that whole generations have grown up basically void of the concept of their own sin. I've even heard some folks go so far as to say that God doesn't care about sin. It is God's job to forgive us. That's what He's there for. God will take you just like you are, and we need not fear the Lord. Well, He will take us if we come repentant. Until we clearly understand our sinfulness and the length to which the Lord of the universe went to in order to spare sinful people from a devil's hell, I think we will not truly appreciate the mercy, the love, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sinned against a holy and a righteous God. And that same God turns around, pays the penalty of our sin against Him, and not just paying a monetary fine. But the Lord of the universe paid the debt with His own blood. Not only that, He didn't go down to the Red Cross and give blood and then have a few cookies and some orange juice and go home. Jesus turned Himself over to the very ones who had so wickedly sinned against Him and allowed them to brutally take His life and in the process shamefully torture and mutilate Him so that the blood could literally flow from His body as His life was being given for them. To us, this may sound contradictory. No one pays for the damage that someone else does against them. And yet that's what Jesus did, and He has the scars to prove it. Many folks take the crucifixion of Jesus very lightly and seldom stop to think of what that day held for our loving Savior. The Father did not give Jesus anesthesia. The Lord did not numb His nerves so the pain would not be non-existent. Jesus was not immune to the hurt one feels when he's betrayed by his friends, forsaken by his loved ones, and ignored by the general population as they watch him being brutalized unjustly. Can you imagine what it must have been like when Jesus looked into the eyes of his executioner as he positioned the nails on his hands, and as a soldier, now numb and calloused by countless other crucifixions, took that first swing of the hammer, drove the rusty spike through the body of Jesus, piercing his skin, scraping by the bone, severing the veins, spraying his life's blood onto his hands and his weathered face. That cold-hearted soldier, as he fastened his body to a rough-hewn beam. Imagine that being done again and again in his other hand and then his feet. Now imagine the soldiers lifting the cross and dropping it into the deep hole. Jesus feels the thud of the cross as it hits the bottom. His body tries to drop, but it's held in place as the nails tear the flesh in his hands and his feet. And he hears his limbs as they're torn from their joints. The jeering crowd erupts with a victor's shout. The religious leaders congratulate each other for a job well done. And all that Jesus says is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We're quick to turn our heads from this scene. We're quick to close our eyes to the narrative and close our ears. And yet we need to fully comprehend what the Lord did for us. We lose so much in our relationship with God by not fully recognizing and acknowledging the events of that day. Do we know why he went through such a horrific death? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And so God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died in our place. See, this was all planned. In the book of Revelation, the phrase there in the midst of it, it says, and the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was all planned before God even laid the foundation. The scripture foretells it. I think otherwise, who in the world would believe such a story? Zechariah 13:6, it said, one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Zechariah 12:10, again in the Old Testament. And I'll pour out my upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded. That literally means there was holes bored into him. That word wounded means the bore holes into him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, like Thomas, it would do us good to see where the nails were. And maybe we'll say, my Lord and my God. Let me give you a couple points here. Number one, seeing where the nails were gives peace. Seeing where the nails were gives peace. Go back to our passage in verse 19. Then the same day at evening, when the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, here's how we're going to do it. He showed unto them his hands and his feet. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus says, I don't want you to be conflicted in your heart. See, it's really me. The same one that died is the same one that now stands before you alive. In John 14:9, he says, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And God, he just fulfilled that. Here I am. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God. He says, you're going to know that God's in me and I'm in the Father. That's what he said. And Thomas says, you're right. This doesn't happen to just anybody. Seeing where the nails were is living proof that Jesus is risen from the grave. And if he's risen from the grave, then all of our sins are paid for. And if Jesus can conquer death, there's nothing else he cannot conquer. This same Lord that died for us is the same Lord that lives for us. The Savior did that for you individually. He must really love you. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth.
Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? He said, listen, if those are the same nail holes that I saw on the cross, and you're living again, and you say you died for me, and that you rose for me, you give me eternal life, what do I have to fear?
Well, I still think,
I don't care what you say, because it's Jesus who justified. How did he justify? By dying. Hey, yay, by rising again, Buster. I don't have to be conflicted about my salvation. Jesus is alive and well and sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. He's looking out for my good. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So tribulation? Well, that takes our peace away, doesn't it? Distress? Persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. I mean, life just can get hard. But I don't have to lose my peace, because my peace is based on the promises of God. My peace is based on the nails were in his hands. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. What did he say? Be not unbelieving. Be persuaded. The reason we don't have the peace is because we're not persuaded. But old Paul says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's where the nails were. Paul goes on and says the same thing. Rejoice the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I know the promises are true, and thus I can have peace in my heart, because the same Jesus that died also conquered death and rose again. Seeing Jesus alive only has the impact because I saw him dead. I know he died, but now he lives again. In other words, if I forget the nail prints, then it's no big deal that he's alive. But the power is in the life, the giving, the resurrection. But the power of the resurrection only has the impact when I know where the nails were. He died. He was dead. Gone. The nail prints are the evidence. Have you gotten a good look at the nail prints? Number two, seeing where the nails were should inspire us to tell others. Verse 20, when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit. That kind of means to get rid of. They're gone. They are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, you hang on to, they are retained. We have a living hope to share with the world. And just as the Lord died and rose again for us, so he died for everyone who's ever lived and ever will live. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And whoever will may come to the living waters. Whosoever. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Listen, you know the peace that you have in your heart? The Lord wants that peace in every person's heart. That's why he came back to talk to Thomas. Well, you said, I got 10 out of the 11 left. You know, I mean, Judas is gone, and there's 11 disciples, and 10 of them were there, and I talked to them. So that's not bad.
No! He came back and did the exact same thing for Thomas. Who did that? The God of the universe. And he comes to you right now and wants to make sure you have that peace. This is the same peace that everyone knows. The Lord Jesus has sent us out to spread the peace with God so folks can have the peace of God. The sins you help folks to forsake and get rid of and put them under the blood, they're gone. The sins you help people to hold on to by not telling them the truth, they still have them. By not helping folks get rid of the sin, you're really helping them to hold on to the sin, and the wages of sin is death. This is the charge that the Lord has given the church, and if you're not part of the church, then this charge is for you. I mean, if you are part of the church, this charge is for you. 2 Corinthians 5, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men that we are made manifest unto God, and trust also he are made manifest in your conscience. He says, God knows what it is that you're actually doing. You're not fooling anybody. Seeing where the nails were gives peace. Seeing where the nails were inspires us to tell others. Number three, not seeing where the nails were may cause us to be indifferent. Indifferent. Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see him in his hands and the prints of his nails, and put my finger into the print of his nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thomas does not seem really all that concerned that he missed seeing Jesus. Well, you know, if I see him. Personally, I think Thomas is vacillating on whether the past 3 years were really what everyone said they were or not. Thomas does not seem too concerned, but actually, about actually knowing for sure. I don't think he really cares whether he knows for sure. It's almost as if he really doesn't care if he ever knows. If he gets to see the risen Savior, proof that it's really him, and it's the scars of the nails are there, that's great. If not, then it's okay. They're saying if someone died and rose again, don't you think you ought to know that for sure? But I'll tell you what, there's an awful lot of folks who just kind of come to church, and you know what? If it sinks in, fine. If it doesn't, that's okay too. We're just kind of indifferent. We've never experienced God. Number four, seeing where the nails were needs to be a personal experience. I can't see the nails for you. I can point them out. I can show them to you. I can take you to them. But I can't make you look at them. I think a lot of people come to all that thing and they kind of turn their head because it is kind of gruesome. It's actually kind of gross if you think about it. God says, Jesus says, I want you to have peace. Here, look at the hole in my hand. Yeah. How about the one on my side here? That's a big one over here. That's a good one here. Boy, I just kind of. I'm being kind of facetious. I don't think he really said it quite like that. But in other words, you know, they show their hands. Ooh. I often tell the nurses in the hospital, I'm glad there's somebody wants to do that job because I sure don't. I just don't have it in me. I remember one time I kind of drilled into my hand a little bit there and I passed out. But anyway, of course it was my blood. It was a little bit worse. But anyway. After 8 days again, his disciples were with him, verse 26, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. He says, let me help you get rid of any conflict you have left in your heart. Reach hither thy finger and hold my hand and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side and be not faithless. Experience me so you know for yourself. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. So you need to come to Jesus yourself. Secondhand experiences and secondhand faith will not carry us through the hard times and the fears and the doubts. The Lord wants us to have that peace and assurance. And as he did with Thomas, the Lord will give you another chance to find him if you will seek him with all your heart. Today's a good day. Number five, we must believe
The nails were for us. Even if we cannot see where the nails were ourselves, we must believe that the nails were for us. He said, reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. How can we see where the nails were? First, let me show you this. What happened to Thomas to get him to this point that he doubted? Well, see, Thomas had run off when things got bad. Smite the shepherd, the sheep shall scatter, it says. We don't see Thomas at the cross. We don't see Thomas at the open tomb. We don't see Thomas there when times are rough. And too many people live right next to the answer. That's Jesus. But before they see the answer, they run off in fear and they want to use the ramifications of their faithlessness to prove that the Lord is not faithful. Thomas had lived and experienced the reality and the power of God for 3 years, but he missed having the peace he needed in his heart by just a few days. How many people come to church week after week after week after week, and when the time really gets rough, when you're going to see the prints of God's hands, we run. Well, I don't want to be here for this. This is the hard stuff. And we miss the nail prints. We miss seeing the power of God. We miss seeing the resurrection unction of the Holy Spirit. We miss it because we walked off when times got tough. So, first thing, we need to stay close to the Lord, even in the dark times. You want to see the nail prints? Stay close to the Lord, even in the dark times. Secondly, stick with the people of God. Stick with the people of God. Stay close to those that long to stay close to Jesus. He should have been running around with John and Peter that night. They didn't know what they were looking at either, but he should have run around with John and Peter. But Peter walked off and denied him. Yes, I know. God used him. He got discouraged and he skipped the meeting of the brethren. He wasn't there when Jesus showed up. The Bible says, listen, Matthew 18, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. They got together. Why were they together? Because they were Jesus' disciples. They were there in his name. They were there because of Jesus. He didn't go. But where two or three are gathered in his name, he's there. God, wait a minute, Jesus showed up. But Thomas wasn't there to see him. And if he had been there to see him, he would have seen the nail prints. A lot of folks aren't seeing what God is doing and not seeing the power of God because they just don't bother to meet. Well, but I won't miss anything this time. Well, it's just Sunday night. Well, it's just this. It was just the Bible conference. It's just this. You don't know when Jesus is going to show up. He just kind of popped in the door there. Said, here I am, and they all saw him. But Thomas didn't because he wasn't there. But you know what? Jesus says, where two or three are met in my name, thou will show up. You know what? When they were meeting again, Jesus showed up. And that time, Thomas happened to be there. And he got his peace. Number three. Well, third thought. Take the word of God for what it says. If you want to see the nail scars, take the word of God for what it says. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Thomas doubted the word of God. Jesus had said he would die and rise again. In John 14, he said that. He said, if ye have known me, you should have known. Watch. What? He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Remember, I mentioned this. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? What do you mean? He's been with him for 3 years. What do you mean you don't know where he's going? What do you mean you don't know the way? You haven't been taking my word very seriously, because if you've been hanging on to my word like it's the word of God, you would know this.
Thomas said, well, I don't know what you're doing. What are we supposed to do?
He says, if ye had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Have you seen in your heart where the nails were? Or have you tried not to get too close a look? Have you managed to avoid the nails and the blood? Do you realize that it should have been your hands where the nails were? It should have been your feet. It should have been your side that was opened. And yet it was the hands and the feet of Jesus, the Lord of the universe, who died. It is Jesus that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him for also freely give us all things? And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. We can have the peace of God. In my eyes of faith, from the Word of God, I have seen where the nails were. I've seen that the nails should have been in my hands, pierced for what I have done. I've seen the nails should have been in my feet, pierced for how I have walked through life. My head should have been pierced by the thorns of what I have allowed myself to think. And my side should have been pierced for the filthiness of my heart. And yet it was the hands of Jesus that was pierced. The hands that had held the leper and healed the blind and touched the children and blessed them. It was the feet of Jesus that had gone throughout the land to preach good tidings of the kingdom that were pierced. It was the head of Jesus that only thought of others that was pierced by the thorns. It was the side of Jesus that was pierced, from which water and blood poured out from the heart of God to save sinners and wash away their sin. But it should have been my hands. It should have been my feet. It should have been my heart. Have you seen where the nails were?